Hare Krishna. So we welcome you to the discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam on the auspicious occasion of Deepavali, which is the day on which the pastime of Mother Yashoda's binding baby Krishna with ropes took place. So I will read a few verses from that chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. Texts 1 and 2. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "One day, when Mother Yashoda saw that the maid servants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself all about those activities." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnav Toshini of Srila Sanatan Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yashoda took place on the Deepavali day, or the Deepa Malika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. While doing research recently about Srila Prabhupada and Juhu, I came across a story told by one of the children of the tenants on the Juhu land. Now, of course, she's a grown woman. But at that time, she and her two brothers were, you know, probably 8, 10, 12. And she said how on Deepavali night, her brothers wanted to do set off fireworks, firecrackers, which were making noise. And at that time, the ladies had one floor above the building in which that particular family lived. And one of the ladies was very, you know, strict and regulated in her daily practices. And she had already gone to take rest when they began to set off the fireworks, firecrackers. So she came out and, you know, reprimanded them that you can't do this. So her brothers got very upset, and they went running across the garden to Srila Prabhupada's apartment to complain that they were stopped in doing the fireworks. And by then it was already 9 o'clock, and Srila Prabhupada said, it's too late. You should take rest. And of course they couldn't argue with Srila Prabhupada. But they were really attached to the idea of setting off the fireworks. So they stood silently in Srila Prabhupada's room and didn't move. And Srila Prabhupada understood what was in their hearts, so he said, "Okay, you can do it, but not past 10 o'clock." So then they were happy and they had their festival. So yes, even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yashoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yashoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and turn it into butter personally, because she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter, because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. So now this is a very important principle, that if we don't want people to go elsewhere, we have to give them something that's so good that whatever they could get elsewhere would be inferior. So Mother Yashoda was thinking, "Oh, Krishna, he's going into the neighbors' houses and stealing butter. Maybe he doesn't like our butter. So we have to make our butter better so that he doesn't leave the house and go elsewhere." While churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about those activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Text 3. Dressed in a saffron-yellow sari, with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. Purport. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. So there are two Sanskrit words, anukaranam and anusaranam. One means to follow in the footsteps, and the other means to imitate. So we should not try to imitate the residents of Vrindavan, but we should try to follow in their footsteps. One may have the desire to serve Krishna in maternal affection or parental affection, but one cannot become Mother Yashoda. To desire to become Mother Yashoda is Mayavad. To want to take the place of Mother Yashoda. But we can be an assistant to Mother Yashoda. She's the leader of all devotees in parental affection or maternal affection. So if we want to serve Krishna in motherly affection, we should contemplate Mother Yashoda because she is our leader, and we should aspire to assist her in her service to Krishna in motherly affection. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. Text 4. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her in order to increase her transcendental pleasure. He caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Purport: Krishna was sleeping within the room, and as soon as he got up, he became hungry and went to his mother. Wanting to stop her from churning and drink the milk of her breast, he stopped her from moving the churning rod. Now, the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto are very mysterious and confidential, and therefore devotees are advised to progress step by step. First to read each Upanishad, then the Bhagavad Gita, then the Nectar of Devotion, and then Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the first canto and gradually progressing to the 10th canto. Now, by understanding properly we will know that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Jamariyasyataha. He is completely independent. Svarat. He is completely satisfied with himself. Independent being satisfied within himself. He doesn't need to get anything from anyone. So how is it that he felt hungry and tried to stop Mother Yashoda from churning the butter so that she would feed him? The answer is that advanced devotees serve Krishna in different moods or mellows. The mood of passive adoration, chantaras, and active service, dasyaras, and friendship with reverence, part of satyaras. And those relationships can be had with Krishna in Vaikuntha. And Krishna means in one of his forms, in Vaikuntha. But there's always awe and reverence. But in Vrindavan, there are more intimate relationships in which the devotees, in order to reciprocate in their mood of service with Krishna, they forget that he's God. And in the case of Mother Yasoda, she just loves him as her child. And in her mood of service, she wants to feed Krishna. Children are always dependent on their mothers. And Krishna, to reciprocate her mood, feels hungry. Now her breast milk is actually her love in liquid form. And Krishna's hunger is actually his desire to taste her pure ecstatic love for him. So he actually feels hungry. But it's not material hunger for material food. But it's his hunger to taste his devotee's love for him. Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. Purport. Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yashoda, when she saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately, and thus she left her son, who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of her breast. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper intuition by which to do this is given by Krishna. Tesham satyata yuktanam majitam priti kurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayam tite. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. So this incident is also very mysterious because Mother Yashoda was feeding baby Krishna her breast milk, and then the milk on the fire began to overflow, and she set baby Krishna aside. So someone might think that, well, why did she do that? I mean, she thought that the milk on the fire was more important than Krishna. But the milk on the fire was also meant for Krishna's service. And therefore, on the platform of absolute truth, it was as important as Krishna. It was as important as feeding Krishna because it was also meant for feeding Krishna. So sometimes we are faced with this question. And one incident from Calcutta comes to mind, in which an important man came to the temple when the devotee was doing arti. And there were not many devotees in the Calcutta temple in general, and they were out for preaching and when the person came in the afternoon. So the person came, and there was no devotee to attend to him, and he stayed a few minutes and left. And when Srila Prabhupada found out, he was very upset. And he quoted a verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mad Bhakta Pujyadika, that the worship of the devotee takes precedence over the worship of Krishna. Now, of course, it would have been better from a certain point of view if the devotee had stopped the arti and received that devotee, that visitor. But he was not aware of that principle. He or she was not aware of that principle. But here, Mother Yashoda set aside her direct service to Krishna to attend to another servant of Krishna, because in the spiritual world everything is conscious. So that milk is also conscious. That milk also wanted to serve Krishna. So Mother Yashoda went to serve that servant of Krishna. B. being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Purport. It is natural that when a child becomes angry, he can begin crying with false tears in his eyes. So Krishna did this, and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, he broke the pot with a stone, entered a room, and began to eat the freshly churned butter. Now, this is an extraordinary pastime, and therefore the author of the Damodar Astaka prays that this pastime may always be in his mind and heart. So then Mother Yasoda, after taking down the milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot. And when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not there, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. And she also saw Krishna's footprints, because he's just a small child, so in that whole process he got butter on his feet, so she could see the footprints from his buttery feet and follow the footprints. Then she found him on the upside down grinding mortar, feeding the monkeys. And she looked, she saw a stick, she picked up the stick just to threaten Krishna. And then Krishna became so frightened that she thought he might have a trauma if he kept seeing her with the stick. So she set aside the stick, and she thought she'll just bind him with ropes to that grinding mortar, just to keep him out of trouble. So when he understood that she wanted to contain him, he started to flee, and she was chasing him. And because he was small and running for his life, he was actually running faster than she was, and she couldn't catch him. There was that. Yeah, it's a little different, but a story in Aesop's fable that a slower animal was chasing a faster animal to catch it and eat it. But the slower animal escaped. So the other animals asked the faster animal, "What happened? You're a faster animal. How come? How could he get away?" And the faster animal replied, "I was just running for my dinner, but he was running for his life." So his motivation was stronger. So anyway, Krishna was running for dear life, and Mother Yashoda could not catch him. Yes, the Bhagavatam does say that she had broad hips and large breasts. And so But Krishna, aware of her sincere desire to contain him as a good mother, so that he would not cause any more mischief, allowed himself to be caught by her. He whom great yogis cannot catch, even running at the speed of mind, he allowed himself to be caught by Mother Yashoda. So then, she wanted to bind him with ropes, and which she did every morning when she would help Krishna get dressed. She would put tie a belt around his waist. So she had experience. But even then, somehow, she apparently misjudged, and the rope was too short, by the width of two fingers. So, okay, she got some more rope and added it, and it was still too short by two fingers. So she kept getting more and more ropes, and they were a cowherd community, so they had a lot of ropes for binding the cows and calves. And it was still too short. And then the neighboring friends, they brought their ropes, like miles and miles of ropes. And it was still too short by the width of two fingers. So finally, her lady friends said that you should give up. That, you know, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to fulfill your objective. So you should just give up, just accept it. But Mother Yashoda did not heed their advice. She didn't give up. And there's an important lesson in that too. So now we come to this verse. This is the critical verse in Mother Yashoda's binding or attempt to bind Lord Krishna. So please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. Text 18. Svamatu Svina Gatraya Vishrastha Kabara Shajaha Dristva Parishramam Krishna Kripaya Asit Svabandane Svamatu Svinagatraya Vishrasta Kabara Sraja Jisra Parishramam Krishna Kripasya Svitsva Bandane Svamatu Svina Gatraya Vishrasta Kabara Sraja Dristva Parishramam Krishna कृपया शिवस्वबन्धने perspiring all over. Because of unnecessary labor. Vishrasta. We're falling down. Kabara. From her hair. Sraja. Of whom the flowers. Drishtva, by seeing the condition of his mother, Parishramam, he could understand that she was now overworked and feeling fatigued. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kripaya, by his causeless mercy upon his devotee and mother, Asit, agreed, Sabandhane, in binding him. Translation. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Please repeat. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. The significance of his being decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments is that bangles are not very big, especially for the wrist of a child, but he was encircled by those bangles, but he couldn't be bound by hundreds of feet of rope, miles of rope. Thus they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. So our acharyas have taken this verse as an instruction on how Krishna can be bound. However much rope Mother Yashoda tied together to bind Krishna, it was always the width of two fingers too short. And in this, at this moment, when Krishna agrees to be bound, there were two elements at work. One is parishrama, which means very hard labor. In fact, materialistic people are criticized for parishrama, for over-endeavor, for material achievements. In fact, that's part of the life of the materialist, the unfortunate or unhappy life of the materialist, that they're engaged in parishrama. But here, that hard labor is for Krishna. And when Krishna saw that hard labor, he gave him her mercy, her kripa. So the acharyas say that the distance of one finger was covered by Mother Yashoda's hard labor, and the distance of the other finger was closed by Krishna's mercy. And by that combination, Krishna was bound. And that is our goal, to bind Krishna within our minds, within our hearts. When we chant japa, we know how hard it is to bind Krishna. He keeps running away, like Krishna was running away from Mother Yashoda. Of course, he's not really running away. Our minds are running away. But we have to maintain our effort. That is the difference between offensive chanting, namaparad, and the clearing stage of chanting. In the clearing stage of chanting, one makes the effort to bring the mind back to Krishna when the mind goes elsewhere. So that's our effort. And when Krishna sees our effort, and that effort can be very demanding, it can be excruciating. I remember one devotee came to a japa retreat for the first time. And after the morning session, she came out and she said, "You know, I thought this was going to be fun and easy and blissful." And she, you know, could just see how fatigued she was. I said, "Yeah, I know, it's like a battlefield." It's like a battlefield. So that's what we have to do from our side. We have to make our best effort. And then Krishna, from his side, will bestow his mercy. And he does. He may not do it immediately, but he will do it enough to encourage us that he's aware of our hard labor and our sincere desire, and he is reciprocating. But one must be patient in the six items that are favorable for devotional service. One of them is dharya, you know, mentioned by Rupa Goswami. Utsaha nischaya dharya. One must be patient. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that if one lacks the quality of patience, he will not be able to do any work. Now, in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's essay, he says that these instructions are meant for sadhakas, people who are trying to practice bhakti yoga. So when he says, what, without the quality of patience, one cannot do any work, it doesn't mean that one can't go to the office without patience. I mean, one might get stuck in traffic on the way to the office. And one might not be patient. One might be grumbling, cursing, honking the horn. But he can do work. He can show up and get his pay. So that's not the kind of work that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is referring to. He's referring to internal work. If one does not have the quality of patience, one cannot do any internal work. Because to do internal work and be successful takes time. It's you know, like Rome wasn't built in a day. And therefore one must have the quality of dharya or patience. Otherwise, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, someone may give up. They may think, oh, I've been chanting for so many years and I've been doing service for so many years and, you know, my hairs are not standing on end and tears are not flowing from my eyes and my body is not trembling. You know, it's not working, and then they'll give up. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that's the problem if you don't have patience. That if you don't get the immediate result that you want, you may give up the effort. And he says that the mood of a devotee is that whether Krishna gives his mercy now or in a year or in 10 years or in 100 years or in another lifetime, I will not stop serving Krishna. So that is what it means to be patient in the devotional sense. That I will never stop serving Krishna. Whether he's merciful today or tomorrow or in another lifetime, I will not stop serving Krishna. And that is the quality of patience that we require. So Mother Yashoda had that quality, and we have to have that quality. Otherwise, we will not be able to do our inner work, and that inner work of purifying our heart will allow us to actually please Krishna and get Krishna's mercy. So maybe we'll stop here. It's 9:00. I don't want to test your quality of patience too much the first day. But do you have any comments or questions? Yes, Amarendra Prabhu.
In general, in life, anything you want to achieve, you have to pay a price.
Yes.
And in this case, mother raises a child unconditionally, with no expectation from him. So, qualification is your heart. Being a mother, being a good child. I just can't help.
Well, everything that Krishna does is to increase the pleasure of his devotees. We read that earlier, that he, to increase the pleasure of his devotees. And everything the devotees do is to increase the pleasure of Krishna. So, from a material perspective, we can see that, you know, he was causing her to be frustrated. But actually, it was all transcendental bliss. I didn't read it, but in the previous verse, thus Mother Yasoda joined whatever ropes were available in the household. But still she failed in her attempt to bind Krishna. Mother Yasoda's friends, the elderly gopis in the neighborhood, were smiling and enjoying the fun. Well, okay, that we can understand, that they were smiling and enjoying the fun. We might also have that a mother is struggling with her child. So we're smiling and enjoying the fun. It's not our problem. It's her problem. But similarly, Mother Yashoda, although laboring in that way, was also smiling. That means she was enjoying transcendental pleasure. So on the absolute platform, on the platform of absolute truth, all the varieties of emotion are varieties of transcendental bliss. So she wasn't suffering. And that's why Srila Prabhupada says that if you want the perfect child, you should have Krishna as your child. Because in the material world, a child goes against the parents, it can be very heartbreaking for the parents. But in the case of Krishna, everything was transcendental ecstasy on his side and on their side. Yes, Janik.
So, what do we call the sarana? This is speaking of sarana. You take an amount of the witness, it's half of that. What was this? How do we sarana? First, four verses. Then, fifth, sixth, seventh.
That's true. we have to surrender. And, you know, it's a generally gradual process. But ultimately we have to give up our false ego. Gopi Parcha Padakamaya or Dasana Sanita. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm only the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And that false ego is what keeps us from, what separates us from Krishna. It's the only thing that separates us from Krishna. And the mind acts as the agent of the false ego. For us to chant properly, we have to surrender. We have to give up our false ego. But the false ego doesn't want to leave us. Or we don't want to leave it. And so the mind will go here and there to protect the false ego from being dismantled. But yeah, the false ego is really what comes in our way. And because of the false ego, like in, for the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna is the center. Everything is about Krishna. And for us, who's the center? We're the center. So that's false ego. We're not Nati Vidu Swartha Gatini Vishnu. We're not seeing that our real interest is to serve Krishna. It's natural to think of your self-interest, but you can't really think of your self-interest unless you know what your real self is. Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. So, yeah, so by hearing, that's why it's so important to hear, by hearing we can gradually understand and appreciate that it is in our self-interest to surrender to Krishna. By hearing of Krishna's loving reciprocation with his devotees, we think, I could have the same relationship with Krishna. It's not that he wants to have relationships with some and not with others. He's inviting all of us. But it's we who don't come forward. And so by hearing again and again and again and again about Krishna's merciful pastimes with his devotees, we gradually start to realize that, yeah, I could have that too. There's no reason why I can't have the same relationship with Krishna. I just have to surrender, just give up my false ego and surrender, and I could have the same. I'll tell one story which may seem unrelated, but it is relevant to the topic of surrender and the Lord's loving reciprocation. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he came back to Bengal and he decided that he would walk along the Ganges and visit the homes of his devotees and fulfill their desires. desires were to serve him, you know, to so he came to the house of Advaitacharya, and then from there he went to Kumarahatta, to the home of Srivas Pandit. And Srivas Pandit was fully absorbed in ecstatic meditation on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so when he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come in person, his joy knew no bounds. So he received the Lord, and, you know, personally brought his best asan on his head for the Lord to sit in. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed about a week or so. And after some time, he spoke to Srivas Pandit privately. And he said, "I see that you know you never go out to earn your livelihood. How can you expect to feed your family or yourself if you don't go out?" And Srivas Pandit replied, "My Lord, I have no desire to go out." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well then, what happens if no food comes? What will happen to you and your family?" And Srivas Pandit replied, "Whatever is destined to happen will happen." Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well then you should take sannyas." And Srivas Pandit replied, "Lord, it is not in my power to take sannyas." Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well, then what will you do? What if no food comes? Then what will you do?" And Srivas Pandit clapped his hands three times and said, 1, 2, 3. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "That is my answer." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well, what does 1, 2, 3 mean?" And he said, and Srivas Pandit said, "If three times food does not come, and I have to fast for three meals, I will take a water pot and tie it around my neck and fill it with rocks and drown myself in the Ganges." So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he began to roar, "Srivas Pandit, what are you saying? Do you not know my promise in the Bhagavad Gita, Yogakshema Bhajamyaham, that one who is fixed in exclusive meditation on me, serving me fully, I will personally bring him alms, whatever he needs?" He said, "Even if one day the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, becomes poverty stricken and has to beg for alms, but you and your family members will never know poverty." So And then he said that everything will come to you. And he gave him many blessings. And so we might think, well, this is, you know, if I did that, I could have that. But it's more than that, the blessings, it's the love, an extraordinary love between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. And then he called Shiva's Pandit's younger brother, Ramai Pandit, and he said, you know, you are very dear to me, you are more dear to me than my life. And I tell you, you should always serve Shrivas Pandit. Never give up serving Shrivas Pandit. If Shrivas Pandit is pleased, then I am pleased. So, and there are so many of those instances. So, and we can think that I could have this relationship. I mean, yeah, maybe Krishna, Vrindavan, that's like one thing. It's the same, but culturally it's a little different. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like, this is just within our culture, Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. So I could have it. Later on that trip, or maybe it was, might have been in Kovarahata. Or no, I think it was further down. So Vasudev Datta came. And it's described, I mean, that he was wild with love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had offered to take the sinful reactions of every living entity upon himself so that all the living entities in the universe could be delivered. Describe that he was like wild with love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wild with love for him. And he said, anyone who's touched by the breeze that has touched the body of Vasudev Datta will be liberated. And it's just amazing. And it's possible for any of us if we give up our false ego. So by hearing about the Lord's merciful pastimes with his devotees, we can develop faith that yes, I can do this and I want to do this. And there's no material qualification or disqualification or condition. Whatever you have or don't have, it doesn't matter. Because whatever you have, it's not going to please Krishna. And whatever you don't have is not going to displease Krishna. The only thing is your surrender. Very important to keep hearing. Do we have that traveling microphone? Or you can speak loud.
Make it sharp. Krishna, everyone to surrender unto me. Why don't we surrender unto this mother? She tries to kill him.
Amarendra Prabhu says, Krishna is telling everyone to surrender right away. So why did he not surrender to his mother right away? Well, he was surrendered to his mother. Yeah, but that was to increase her pleasure. In her perspiring, she was enjoying.
Some people think that it's parishrama to sweat. But some people like to sweat.
That's true. 3 days ago, I was walking at White Rock Lake, and Mahahari came by on his bicycle, and he was really sweating. He was like so blissful. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, he stopped and we spoke. You have people who sweat for you. That's why you don't know the pleasures of sweating. All right, so thank you very much. We'll meet again in the evening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.